We're going to try something and see if it works. Bill, could you hit the skit guys? This is kind of a funny take on the wise men and the foolish men, if it works.
Welcome again to 330, the television show where we give local builders 30 days and $3,000 to showcase their talents. Today is a very special day because today we're at my house and we have a local builder in my backyard that's going to build my children a fort. They have 30 days and $3,000 to dream up any fort that they can imagine. But let's not get ahead of ourselves because today is just the day that they will just be laying the foundation. Hey, let's go check out and see what's going on, shall we? I am so excited to see what's going on in my backyard today. Again, today is just the foundation, but it'll give you an idea of how great and how big this project really can be.
Hey, it's done.
It's done. We are here with Dan the Builder.
Handy Dan Dodson.
Dan the Builder.
Handy Dan.
Dan, you, even though you had $3,000 in 30 days to build the fort, you actually built the fort in one day.
Well, listen, like I was telling you, I misunderstood. I thought the 330 stood for 3 hours and $30, you know. But under those circumstances, I think I built a pretty good fort here, you know, and actually had enough left over that I got me some Taco Bell and a Gatorade.
Good for you, Dan. And I see with the time that you had, you went ahead and you built a little fence here, huh?
Well, yeah, I thought you might have some ponies or something.
Ponies? No, Dan, we don't have any ponies. No. Okay, great.
I could fix that. I was thinking about putting a gate there anyway, but hey, how about this fort, right? I mean, with the time allotted and the money, I think I did a pretty good job for your kiddos. I think they're going to enjoy it. I actually built them a little reading nook right here, you know, in case they want to read their Henry Potter books and whatnot. I can fix that.
All righty, Dan.
Handy Dan.
Uh-huh. It seems like you got the slide, but you've added something to it.
Yeah, I created these. I call them slide stoppers.
You slide stoppers?
Yeah, well, if you have a hefty kid or two that stops them from, you know,
hitting the fence you made right there.
Yeah, you don't want to break a pinky or something.
That is very medieval, Dan.
Well, that's just general physics.
All right, that's good. Well, it seems sturdy enough. Okay, all right.
I can fix that.
Okay, that'd be great.
Well, here's something positive. You have built a climbing rock wall.
Yeah.
And those are real rocks there, Dan?
Nothing but the best, Clark.
It's Carl. All right, I'm just going to climb on up here and test it out up there, all right?
Yep. Permission to board, El Capitan.
Here we go.
I can fix that.
Well, this is a first on 330. Dan the Builder.
Handy Dan.
Handy Dan is basically...
I can fix that.
Dan, please, just come down. This is sand. Dan, can you explain this to me?
Yeah, that's your foundation, boss man.
The foundation is made out of sand!
Well, technically, it's a floating slab on sandy loams.
That's why it sways, Dan!
No, not so it can withstand an earthquake!
This thing couldn't withstand an earthquake! This thing couldn't withstand a light rain! It couldn't even withhold my fourth great son!
Well, he is kind of husky!
You built the fort on sand, Dan! The foundation is everything!
Don't keep pushing that, you're gonna break it! Ah! I can fix that.
Well, Well, this morning we're starting a new sermon series, and it's on the parables of Jesus. And Jesus talked about two builders in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Jesus described each of those two who built the house. Now, he didn't mention any difference between their skills and their resources. The only variable he identified was where each of them chose to build. Jesus noted that based on their choices, one man was wise and one man was foolish. The man who made the better decision about where to build was, of course, the wise builder, because he chose to put his foundation on the rock. We might wonder, how did he come to that decision? What convinced him to build on the rock? Well, Jesus doesn't say. It would have to have been hard to chip into rock and level off a footing for that house. It could have taken a long time to work around the rocky edges and to attach the structure to the bedrock. It would have been challenging to build on rocky terrain. It would have taken time and patience and hard work, something that Dandy Dan didn't have up on the screen. But the wise man seems to have considered such factors and to have believed it would be worth the effort. Built into the rock, his house could endure the inevitable storms that would come.
Now, what we know about the parables is that when Jesus spoke in parables, you could find your place in the parable. He didn't tell you what to think. He allowed you to find yourself in the story. And I just think that's so beautiful because we all live at different stages of our lives. So we may at one time hear the parable and say, oh, I'm there. Or another time hear the parable a year or two later and say, oh, that's me. And so I love the fact that Jesus spoke in parables. So we want you to think this morning, to think in tiered levels. We'd like you to think about who you are individually. We'd like to think about your home. We'd like you to think about our church. Now, not everything we say this morning is going to apply to all three, but you may find these little pockets of pieces and you say, oh, that applies to me personally. Oh, that really applies to my home. Oh, that really applies to the church. And what we see and didn't see displayed here was stability. And I think that's one piece of this parable that Jesus is speaking and addressing. It's finding that stability in our life and starting with that foundation. Now, the foolish builder was not necessarily a bad man. He wasn't a bad person. The builder just appeared to be a little short-sighted and a bit foolish in the choices that were made. Now, was it because this builder simply had too much to do and just wanted to be in a hurry and get it done? Or did he, the builder, have other concerns? You know, we really don't know, and that's the beauty, again, of the parable, is that there's things left unknown that we get to question and we get to think about. What we do know, unlike what we saw, is this builder in the parable knew how to build. He was a builder, but just didn't seem to be overly concerned about the foundation. His concern appeared to be on the present and getting the house quickly built, getting it done. You know, building on sandy soil was an easier choice, wasn't it? I mean, if you can, it goes a lot faster than building on a rock. But without taking as much time to prepare the foundation, the entire project was obviously done more swiftly, yet it would not withstand the storms. Now, sometime after both men had built their houses, the one on sand and the one on the rock, one of those severe storms battered both of the structures. And doesn't Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, they know about these storms right now. Torrents of rain poured over the rocky hills. Creeks and rivers overflowed their banks. Floods of water washed across the sandy ground. The house built on the rock survived the downpour. But the house on the sand, as we know, was demolished. Not just a little damaged, it was demolished. Jesus stated, and great was its fall. In other words, it was way beyond repair. So let's keep this clearly in mind as we follow along and we look at this parable a little more closely. The difference between these two builders was not the difference of ability, knowledge, or opportunity, as Paul had stated. It was a difference of choice. The one chooses wisely, the other foolishly.
In life, you can count on that one day, somehow, some way, somewhere, there will be a storm. In a world where sickness exists, where accidents happen, where marriages are broken, where friendships are betrayed, and where the changing economy means that some jobs may be gained and some lost, everyone is compelled at some time in their life to face a storm. And some people, Lord have mercy on these, seem to live in a constant storm, a storm that just never, never ends. And to those, our hearts ache when we think of those people. Still, some people seem to escape the storms for a long time. They seem to have a charmed life. And when they do face a storm, they often are particularly devastated. They cry out, "Why should this happen to me?" The answer in the form of a question is this: why should they be exempt when everyone else also faces a storm? To live on this planet, we all meet a storm now and then in our lives. But let me confess that at times the storms can catch any of us unaware. The sun shines so pleasantly on life that you think nothing of it when you have a little pain, a little nagging pain. But then when you go to the doctor and he says that pain is an advanced malignancy, suddenly we find ourselves swept into the storm.
Swept by the storm. You know, when you're building on a sunny day, it's hard to think ahead and recognize what dangers may lie ahead. So perhaps another reason why this builder chose to build on the sand was the attitude of, couldn't happen to me. It won't happen to me. That happens to other people. It doesn't happen to me. So some of life's choices, it's sort of like playing that Russian roulette, right? When you know you're playing with a loaded gun. But most of us tend to be optimistic enough to think, hey, we can beat the odds. We can beat the odds.
Secondly, others build on sand because, frankly, the land is cheap. They're the folks who always look for the marginal deal. They cut their ethical decisions so close that sometimes they end up on the unethical side of life. They justify with the oldest of excuses, "Everybody does it, so why shouldn't I?" Obviously, everybody doesn't do it. Perhaps too many do, but not everyone. Besides, morality isn't established by an election. Morality cuts more deeply than a life, than a majority vote. Those who look for a shortcut to happiness are easily persuaded to buy sandy property. They know that they want to get that dream house finished as soon as they can. And they can get it so much faster if they don't have to invest so much into a foundation.
Wouldn't it be fun to hear this parable told in Jesus' day? Now we're putting it in modern day terms. What do you think they thought of as they listened to the parable? What do you think, or where do you think they saw themselves? I find that fascinating, but we're going to have to leave that for another time. That's for you to dream and think about as you read this parable on your own. But let's look at another component of what the builders might be more interested in. They might have been more interested when building on the sand of possibly saving that additional money so they can impress their neighbors or their friends. A realtor once said, "Hey, you do know it's much easier to sell cute bathroom fixtures than it is to sell the pipes that deliver the water to the bathroom." But you have to think about what's really more important. And do we look at the pipes that deliver the water to the bathroom, or do we concentrate on those cute little fixtures? I regret to say that sometimes people put their lives together. When they do this, they spend more of their time, their money, and their character seeking to impress other people than choosing a good, strong foundation. And I suspect that if there was some type of plastic surgery available for the soul, and isn't that an interesting consideration, plastic surgery for the soul, that in the church, there'd be a whole lot of takers, don't you think? It's like, let's get this done. Let's get this looking good. You know, it is said, and I know some people say, oh, you speak in a lot of evangelical terms, and I think we try to balance that a great deal. But we've had this term around for a long time, for many decades, of being born again. And even Jesus says this in the scriptures, you must be born again. Being born again can happen in a moment, but it's said that there are no sudden saints. And don't you love that? Yes, we are born or reborn in a moment, but we are never sudden saints. The sequel of being born again is that we need to grow up and we need to mature, and that can be a very long process.
Jesus had just finished his session of teaching, and implicit in each of his lessons was a call to follow him. But Jesus could see that not everyone was going to follow him. As a matter of fact, a great many of them would not, and only a few would. And Jesus said those who heard the truth and didn't act upon it were fools. Why such a harsh word? What is the measure of the decision that cuts the line so sharply that those on one side of the line are wise, but those on the other side are foolish? It's based on the value of the house. The reason the foundation or the land on which the men in the parable were building was such an issue was because of the structure that was going to be built on that land. Now, if a man was just going to build a chicken coop, that'd be one thing. We could forgive them for a questionable foundation because a coop doesn't cost much and it isn't very big. And yes, it's just for chickens. It's not for house, for us. But a house, building a house, is certainly a different matter. Most of us charge into life as if we're going to be able to develop a whole subdivision of lives. So that if this life doesn't work out, And we can jump over here and get into a different life. If that doesn't work out, we get into a different life. But you know, life isn't like that. We're given just one life. So we'd better build this life on a firm foundation, just like we would build a house.
So let's consider that life to be our body. Okay, so let's just think of this in physical terms. Our bodies are truly magnificently engineered entities, aren't they? This body of yours and of mine is remarkably resilient. It's amazing what the body can take and revive from. It's amazing how we can feed it so many wrong things during fair time, and we can offer so little sleep at times, and sometimes we can even ignore the warnings that our body's giving. And yet, the body often recovers in a quite miraculous way. In fact, we can make a lot of bad choices regarding our bodies, and we can still survive. And this is especially true in the days of modern medicine and our skilled physicians. But eventually, the stuff, all that wrong stuff that we put into the foundations of our body, those choices, they can and they will put the whole house in danger.
And then there's our brain, our internal computer. It just can't be duplicated. But I certainly can mess it up in many different ways. I can invest my mind in idleness or frantic ambition. I can feed my mind on resentment and hate and pettiness and meanness until this wonderful gift that we have is just washed away.
Well, and then there is our soul. And that is the ultimate issue of Jesus' story. So we're finally getting to the heart of it. The decisions that we make regarding our bodies and our mind, they all come together for decisions that eventually do affect the soul. And our soul decisions are the ones that make our eternal decisions. Now, if this house of ours weren't much, if our bodies and brains, our will, and our personalities, if they were just trivial things to be thrown together one day and torn down the next, you know, if that were so, it wouldn't matter so much about the foundation and which one we would choose. But the stuff that constitutes you and me, it's utterly invaluable. There is no other soul like yours. When we look out across the congregation, every single soul is different, is unique, is precious and dear to God. Not one is like the other. No other life can replace yours. Isn't that amazing? Is your life of consequence? Absolutely, because no one, nothing can replace you and your presence and your effect on this world. Thus, we better build our house on a foundation that will survive those inevitable storms, because it's the only one we get. It's our only chance. That's why Jesus said, some people are foolish. They just don't realize the value of the house that God has put in their charge.
And here's the lesson in the parable. Jesus was illustrating that we can live wisely or foolishly. It's our choice. It depends on where we lay our foundation. He said that if we pay attention to what he said and follow him, we will be like the wise builder. We will come through the inevitable storms of life, that trials and difficulties that are part of life, because his teachings are rock solid about how to live successfully. We can live successfully as well. Yes, it does require hard work to do these things, but it will pay off in the long run. In other words, Jesus said that his teachings are the best place to build. They provide a solid foundation for our lives, our families, our friendships, our associates, and our future. Few people grasp the importance of the foundation Jesus described in the Sermon on the Mount. But some of Jesus' listeners heard and thought about what he said, and they were astonished at his teachings, which comes from Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. To the degree that they were able, his disciples endeavored to follow how he lived. They tried to put his teachings into practice as a way of life. They did the hard work and they passed it on what they had learned to others. What they proved by this practice is there's only one sure foundation for living an abundant life, and that is Jesus Christ. That foundation includes his life, his death, his teachings, his resurrections, and his instructions for us all. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11.
So where is our starting in a place? And especially as we're thinking in tiers, right? Well, let's review a little bit just our church. And we showed this slide, and we're going to show it again next Sunday, of where we have been since our installation in January. Okay? So what was the first thing we did? What was the first thing we spoke on? We spoke on brethren beliefs and practices. We wanted to make sure everyone had a solid foundation in that as we began. Then we went to the purpose-driven church. And the reason we did that was to give a foundational structure for the leadership so we would know where we were going. Then we followed that up with a leadership retreat. And as you watch the slides next Sunday, if you weren't with us, you'll see the charts with the circles, the colored circles, where they chose, what they were thinking, what would they like to do, where do they think the church can move from there. And at this retreat, we prayerfully examined our strengths as a body and laid a foundation for our future. Individually, where can you go? Or as a home? Well, think about this scripture. Say the rest of it for me. As for me and my house, we
will serve the Lord.
It's a simple choice. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Individually, how do you break it down? Well, we have all the teachings of Jesus. You could start with the parables. That would work. Reading the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John gives us a sense of how Jesus lived. He based his teaching on laws and principles as revealed in the scriptures. Reading the entire Bible or parts of it, switching back and forth from the Old Testament to the New Testament, I think that deepens our understanding of how God thinks. And it explains even more the message that Jesus was teaching while here on earth. Now, the Apostle Paul also gives us some guidance. He says that the Bible is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. We're looking at wholeness, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16.
In other words, the scriptures are a powerful foundation for living wisely and abundantly, weathering the inevitable storms of life and moving forward. If you are not confident that your foundation is secure, it's never too late to shore up the footings. Dig into the Sermon on the Mount and the whole Word of God to see what makes life work and how to endure the storms of life. In Jesus' name, amen.